Welcome back to the MCP. My name is Rick Alexander. If you want to follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram, that's a great place to talk about the show, connect. Of course, I'll be sharing quotes and things like that. Big thing this week is on Sunday, I release my second book, Ambitious Heroes and Heartache, a book about what it means to be human. And that's available on my website at rickalexander.com. And because that book just came out, I thought this week what I would talk about, of course, I'm kind of always talking about this, but just some of the things that stand in our way when we go after the things that we want. I've been pursuing this life of becoming a writer for a while now, of course, because this is my second book, but I've been writing. I was that weird kid in seventh grade, like writing with candles in his room. Like truly, I've been on this journey for a really long time, but I really had to sort through a lot of who I thought the world expected me to be to just allow myself to go after the life that I want. So that's what we're talking about this week. Today, I want to talk to you about the number one enemy of purpose. Elder Maxwell said, "Some of us stand before no more harsh a judge than ourselves. A judge who stubbornly refuses to admit much happy evidence and who cares nothing for due process." To begin, we must qualify this conversation. See, because purpose has come up in my work a lot lately, but to understand what we're talking about fully, we must define whether we're talking about inner or outer purpose. If you've been through some of my material in the past, definitely the Clarity Academy, or if you've been listening to the MCP since January, you know that my belief is that our first responsibility in this life is ourselves. This is our inner purpose. I did an episode a while back titled Selfish, in which I laid out an argument for learning to understand your own needs so that you can arrive at a place where you are able to ensure that you aren't projecting your unmet needs onto everyone around you. This is our first responsibility in this life, because if you focus on becoming the absolute best version of yourself, it won't matter where you are, who you're with, or what you do. All of those things will be the best that they can be for having the best version of you involved with them. I think a lot of times our family, our friends, our lovers are getting a watered-down version of us because we're not taking the time to make sure that our own needs are met. See, if we take the time to cultivate courage, then whatever fear is presented by our environments, our craft, or as we'll talk about today, our outer purpose, we'll be better equipped to deal with it. If we take the time to figure out who we are and inventory our strengths, we'll know where to put our efforts. And if we're able to really buckle down and look at our weaknesses, we'll know where to outsource, hire coaches, and build systems to make up for where we lack. All of that is the result of you walking down the difficult road of fulfilling your inner purpose and learning to show up as the absolute best version of yourself. Our outer purpose in life is what we do. This is the talk that Doc Pate and I had on the MCP a couple weeks ago. I think it can be really easy in this life to look for a single outer purpose to be the thing that solves our problems. I know for most of my life, I thought if I could just find my thing, I wouldn't be stuck in all of the indecision. And to that, I say, well, maybe. Or maybe if you go into your dreams as a half-understood version of yourself, you'll self-sabotage and wreck them before you ever stand a chance at attaining them. Maybe if you don't recognize and work through your own shadows, you'll find that they keep your thing out of reach. And this leads me to today's topic, which is the enemy of purpose and its many weapons. Purpose being the reason for which something is done or created. When the right person is aligned with the right purpose in life, what you'll find is that they become almost superhuman in their ability to create or work the craft or perform or whatever it is that they're doing. You know, I'm reminded in this moment of a passage from my first book, Burn Your Couch, when I said, animals need purpose. Huskies need a sled to pull or they become lazy. Lions need prey to chase or they starve. And humans need a mission to focus their energy or they become irritable, waste time, and focus on trivial things that don't matter. Purpose is incredible, and if you're pushed by the right one, there's no doubt that it has the ability to push you into incredible heights. So then the question is, why aren't we all driven by purpose? I mean, it feels incredible to fulfill a sense of purpose. It gives you a massive boost in capability, as purpose-driven humans tend also to be competent humans. It also tends to reframe the road you're on. When purpose is the engine, roadblocks tend to look a lot more like detours. So what gives? There are, of course, wide-sweeping obstacles to fulfilling purpose. Some of them on the individual level, like perhaps you're just stubborn and don't want to pivot to where you have a sense of purpose. Some of the obstacles are culturally driven. We're certainly not taught that we can pivot anytime that we want in life, especially after we've secured the golden handcuffs. But these are problems I've addressed in the past ad nauseum. Today, I want to talk about the number one enemy to purpose. Well, more accurately, I want to expose it because this is the thing that keeps a massive percentage of people from going after what they want in life. And that is the lie of inadequacy. The lie of inadequacy says that who you are is not enough for what you want. It feels like maybe you were born broken, or maybe you just developed a fracture somewhere and now you're broken. According to goodtherapy.org, most often, feelings of inadequacy are rooted in childhood experiences like having had overly critical parents, cruel peers, shaming authority figures, or perhaps having not had opportunities to engage in positive, challenging experiences that help children gain feelings of competency and adequacy. Essentially, you believe that you're not quite enough, so you settle for things that you perceive as being more on your level. We do it with relationships, jobs. Anytime there's a chance to meet our own needs adequately, the lie of inadequacy tells you that you don't deserve it. You can't have your cake and eat it too, as the adage goes. Excuse me, but cake you can't eat would suck. What I'm going to do is lay out this lie. I'm going to break down its playbook so that you can see exactly how it takes root in your life. And I'm going to talk about all the ways that it shows up in our lives. So the first thing that I'm going to talk about are the weapons that this lie wields and their accompanying narratives, as in what you tell yourself. So the first one is guilt. Guilt says that you deserve less than you want because of who you are, what you've done, or when bad things happen, it says that you deserve these. The next one is shame. Shame says that you deserve to feel the way you do because of who you are or what you've done. Fear. Well, fear just reminds you that things could go wrong if you go out on a limb. The limb could break, and then where would you be? Or no one could follow you, then cue shame. Everyone follows you, and then you fuck up, now cue guilt. Doubt. Doubt asks you, who are you to do that? You're not very competent. I doubt you could pull something like that off. Plus, what about what could go wrong? Now cue fear. Imposter syndrome is yet another symptom of the lie of inadequacy. It makes you feel like you're not good enough for what you want, and it uses the weapons above to do it. Evolution has crafted a negative bias into our thought process, so we're naturally attuned to what could go wrong. I'd love to point out here that just because you have a prevalent thought does not by any means mean that it's one that is serving you or that it's the only one available to you. And what happens is that guilt, shame, fear, and doubt drive you in circles with no destination in mind. See, where purpose often requires and demands linear progress, these things will spin you in circles. The reason that these don't drive you anywhere productive is because, well, they're lies. This doesn't mean they don't feel real. When we feel things, we often take that as a hallmark of something being, quote unquote, real. But it's important to remember that our emotions are actually a reaction to a thought, not reality. So imagine right now, this just as a thought experiment, if you just start dwelling on how you aren't enough for your lover, let's say. You're too something, whatever your go-to is that you beat yourself up. Let's say you're just too ugly. Now dwell on that thought for the next hour and see how you feel. See, nothing actually has to have happened in real life. You just have to dwell on the right thought that will conjure up the right feelings, which are then over time cemented as patterns and beliefs, and voila, the lie of inadequacy has you convinced of something that has no basis in reality. If you wonder why we pattern ourselves this way, just think about how life would be if we didn't. Imagine having to think consciously about every single thing you do before you do it. It would be exhausting. We think and act in patterns so that we can free up mental bandwidth. This is why what most holds us back in life are patterns and not reality. If you want to act out different patterns, your work is in redoing the ones that you're acting out. If a conscious adult takes the time to understand their own value system and has the courage to live according to it, the effective conscious adult is the one that takes the time to reparent themselves around the areas that they show up counter to who they actually want to be in the world. So what happens after you have internalized this lie is that you begin to then feel as though other people are viewing you in this same light. It's called a projection because what you're doing is taking your inner world and projecting it to the outer world. Again, Nothing in reality has happened. We've just convinced ourselves of something. And understand this, you will live out whatever narrative you're telling yourself in your head. If you're not sure about the narratives that you're telling yourself, just look at your life and how you feel about it. Other symptoms of this lie happen when we can't take compliments from others. This one has been my world for as long as I can remember. The reason this happens is that the compliment doesn't match the picture we've already created for ourselves, and so mentally, we just don't have anywhere to put it. Another symptom is the fear of rejection. I've done a lot of content on this one, but look, lessons require tuition. In life, we call that tuition failure. Another symptom is self-deprecation. This is the one that you see most propagated in the meme world of social media. If I tell you how much of a mess I am, you don't have a chance to do it first, and since I've already decided I am a mess, I better just get out in front of this one. Now, side note, I know there's a level of self-deprecating humor that can be charming, but side note, there's a point where if all you do is cut yourself down, you can't be surprised when it's difficult to grow. And here's something else to know. You have a cognitive bias built into your psychology, and what that means is that you'll always look to the world to confirm your beliefs, especially if you haven't taken the time to question them. This means that you'll look for all of the examples of where you're not enough, and you'll conclude that you're right. And so what happens if we live our lives allowing this lie to be at the base of everything we do? First of all, we won't accept the responsibility to change. We can keep ourselves small if we convince ourselves that we're inadequate. It's also not our fault. I do believe that accepting the responsibility to change is the only precursor for actual change. You won't ever change what you believe you shouldn't, don't have to, or can't. You'll also find that you're outsourcing your own power. You'll notice that you're a victim of situations and you'll look to others to help solve them. You'll also be far more likely to submit to peer pressure. This is yet another place where I've seen this thing show up in my life. The reality is, you're just far less likely to stand on your own when you think your validity in life is reliant on others' approval. Validation feels incredible for anyone, but if you need it, your power lies in the hands of whoever you need it from. Look, we all struggle with this lie to some degree. It's been propagated by all sorts of misunderstanding people. Religions that have gone astray institutionalize guilt and propagate this lie. Well-meaning parents in times of desperation use it to keep us safe. At the end of the day, I do believe that we're here for each other. We have gifts that could serve the world immensely. And if I'm the enemy to those gifts being given to the world, I'm going to make you feel like you aren't enough. I'm going to tell you to focus on yourself and what could go wrong. Anything, really, to rob you of the fulfillment of delivering those gifts. This is why it's the enemy of purpose. And I do understand this episode has been a bit of a hard pill to swallow. The truth goes down like that sometimes. But I say this, one, because I've suffered from it for so long. I'm intimately familiar with what it feels like to be imprisoned behind your gifts. Two, when you actually do see what you bring to the table, the last thing you'll ever need is permission to sit at it. And three, well, because I love you. Have an incredible weekend, and we'll chat Monday on Morning Coffee. We'll be right back.